seems today that all you see is crab sticks from Matt Berry on Fantasy. But where is that good old fun if that dude on which the people rely? Oh, lucky there's a fantasy guy. Lucky there's a fan who does the bitch before you, so you can sit there stupid high. Here's our fantasy guy.
Alrighty, guys, for my audio people, I hope you enjoyed that wonderful singing, saying by yours truly. If you're on the video format, welcome to my first ever video podcast. I'm very excited to get started. And even more importantly, welcome everybody to the Fantasy Guy Podcast Season 1. Yes, we had the fantasy basketball last year. I had that going pretty consistently until school started really kicking my ass. But this year, I'm full steam ahead. I'm fully dedicated to it. And we are gonna deliver some fucking winnings. I was able to win over 1.5K in fantasy last year, and you can fucking too. So, what we're gonna do here on the Fantasy Guy Podcast is we're going to elevate your understanding of fantasy football. Not only the players and the guys to know, but kind of understanding the strategy behind it, the drafting, picking up free agents, trading. All of that will be covered throughout this entire season. Now, I know I did start the podcast a little relatively late in terms of closeness to the start of drafts and the season. So, what we're going to do today is we're going to go through the best values in the draft that I've seen so far. We're going to go into the sleepers next episode and look at sleepers, deep sleepers, all that. Everybody that you should know will be named in the next two episodes. And then we're probably going to go into a rankings episode. I'm going to be able to pull the stuff up on the screen so you guys don't have to just hear me read a list of names and you just have to try and memorize in your head. No, you could go on here, you could go on YouTube, you could watch the video format, and then you'll have everything I'm talking about right in front of your screen. So let's not wait too much, but let's also kind of take it slow to begin. What have I been doing? I graduated from the University of Miami. I was going to be a financial advisor for New York Life. And I had ultimately decided after a few months of going through the process of onboarding with them that ultimately life insurance definitely is not my thing. I want to do something in the field of sports. I want to do something in the field of sports media. And this is my dream. So I just found that doing that would have been counterproductive. It's not like there's a salary. It's only commissions. Very stressful stuff. So what I chose to do is I chose to go back home. I found this internship with Chop Sports at the startup, and I've been basically helping those guys do everything I can to help the company get better in terms of graphics, media, content we're putting out, keeping financials straight, everything. So, been doing that a bit, and then I've been working at Jersey Mike's on the side. Shout out Brandon Hazard, manager of the local Jersey Mike's in Freehold. So, yeah, that is what I've been up to. I've been exhausted. I've been tired. I got bags under my eyes for the first time the other day. But I'm feeling great. I'm feeling excited, and I'm ready for what's to come. So, let's get into it, every fucking buddy. Let's get into the best values. And let me give you a preface first with the quarterback position. If you want to win a league, you have to wait on a quarterback until you get the best value. Now, a friend of mine, Chris Gucci, he had kind of corrected me on a statement that I had been saying for a long time. And that's if you draft the 20th best quarterback, or you were to draft the third best quarterback, the difference is only about, 3 points per week. It's a bit more than that. But if you go ahead and you look at the 8th best quarterback to the 16th best quarterback, that range is all the same. And basically, what I want to get into is the fact that Patrick Mahomes right now I'm seeing is going 14th overall. And that's driving me absolutely insane. I mean, I'm happy about it because if some schmuck wants to take him in the first round, oh my god, like the draft as a whole just got a free pick basically right there. So my problem with it is that Mahomes is an amazing quarterback, right? But there were guys like Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, and Tom Brady who were drafted in round 7 to 8 last year, possibly even later. I remember I got Rodgers in the 10th round in the league, same with Brady. These guys finished 3rd, 1st, and 8th, respectively. So, What is the sense of wasting a pick where you could get a Najee Harris, an Austin Eckler, a Stephon Diggs, a DeAndre Hopkins on Patrick Mahomes? It just doesn't make sense to me. I think it's absolute lunacy, and I don't know. Did Lamar Jackson pan out for all the people that drafted him last year? No. Did Pat Mahomes pan out for all the people in the draft in the year before? I mean, I think it could have been last year, too, or the year before. I know one of the years he wasn't as good as that second-round price tag, but let's get into the guys that are going to be worth their price tag, and they're rather low price tags. So let's go into my guy, Joe Burrow. So let me move a little bit, get adjusted. Okay, Joe Burrow is a guy I really like this year. He was 6th in yards per game last year. He was 16th overall in, fantasy last year as a quarterback, until he had his horrible injury. Now, why do I like a guy that was the 16th best quarterback in the late 7th? I think there's a ton of upside with Joe Burrow, and I think that he has room to explode this year. The addition of Ja'Marr Chase is huge. They now have a true possession guy. T. Higgins is also a big body, but he's a hybrid. He's a vertical threat. He's a guy that can play in the slot, and he's also a guy who could get physical and go up and get that ball in the air. So he has a lot of dogs on the team. Let's not forget Tyler Boyd. They have weapons. Now they have Joe Mixon back, and I believe that they got a few guys in the free agency or the draft to help address the line. So where does that leave Joe Burrow? He now has an improved offense. He now has some rest. He now has NFL experience, and Zach Taylor has an entire year under his belt. With the guy having the 6th most yards in the league on a per-game basis, I believe that is very achievable this year with the defense that the Bengals are holding right now. Respect to Jesse Bates, but everybody else on there is not really that good. And then go ahead and take into account that they're going to be down in a lot of these games. Joe Burrow's going to have to pass the rock, and I'm hoping that what Joe Burrow can do better this year is put the ball in the end zone. Now, he would always get great yardage, but their problem was punching the ball in. I think that Joe Burrow will grow as a QB this year, as most of these great guys do, and I believe that he's going to take a step up, and he's definitely worth that late 7th price tag. So that's Joe Burrow for you. Now, this guy, the guy I'm about to talk about next, he was phenomenal yesterday in his preseason game. I don't care about the fact that he was 5 for 14. That pass was absolutely beautiful. It showed poise. It shows body control. It shows flexibility. It shows everything. Everything that you possibly want in a quarterback, and that is Trey Lance. Trey Lance is being drafted in the late 11th right now, and I could not be more aboard the Lance train. So why am I aboard the Lance train, right? Because it may take him 4 games to hit the field. My theory is if he does hit the field, my God, is it going to be scary. So let's go into it. He has Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, sometimes I call him Greg, shout out PMT, and a plethora of running backs to use at his disposal. And his legs should provide for some unique play calling. I feel like there could be a lot of HB wheels with him running out to the side. The linebacker doesn't know what to do, and then that's an easy touchdown. He has so much mobility and so much, I guess accuracy is the word I would use. He has so much accuracy that it's absolutely nuts. The guy in his college career was deadly accurate, and he's going to bring that same level of poise to the NFL. I love the group around him. I love Kyle Shanahan. And I just think that Trey Lance, at 11th round, you could go ahead and you could take Trey Lance in the 11th round, and then you could go ahead and take a Trevor Lawrence either the round before or the round afterwards. Two guys who I think are going to have good seasons, and Trevor Lawrence, I think, is in an especially good spot because his defense is really bad, and I think that his weapons at receiver are a little underrated. I don't know if you guys see me looking away from the camera a little bit, but it's a fucking fly, and his name is Frederick. Frederick the Fly has been flying around the past 3 days in the Chop Sports Media Studio. I don't know how to kill him. We've literally tried everything, but That's not going to ruin my day. It's not going to ruin my day. Now, I did have Joe Mixon as a guy that I was liking as a best value, but now that I've come to think about it, he's not a best value. He's just properly valued for the first time ever, and that's why I love Joe Mixon this season. I love him as a late second-round back. He's a guy who could do it all, but we have to see. Not one of the guys I want to go ahead and say is the best value, because we're about to go into my guy, my most heavily targeted player in fantasy football this year. Last year it was Calvin Ridley. We saw how that panned out. This year it will be Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's going in the late second round, and boy, do I love this kid's potential. Because through the first 6 weeks of the season, he was getting his feet wet with the offense, right? He was the RB11, so that's pretty impressive in itself. But then when you hear that he only had one touchdown and he was the RB11 through 6 weeks, that makes it a little more impressive. He's putting numbers in the air, on the ground. He's doing a little bit of everything. The problem was that they have so many weapons that they were basically kind of trying to confuse defenses, and it wound up working. Obviously, Tyreek Hill, the Travis Kelce, they get those touchdowns. But here I'm optimistic about this year, right? Because before that Bell signing, he had that going. He had only one touchdown. You know who else, I believe, had one or two touchdowns in his rookie season? Melvin Gordon. You know who else, I believe, had less than three touchdowns in the rookie season? David Montgomery. Now, we're talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a first-round running back, a guy who's on the best offense in football, and a guy who now has a bolstered offensive line as the Chiefs have traded for Orlando Brown Jr., a huge trade in my opinion. I absolutely loved it. And they also got a quality guard as well. So, with an increased line in terms of talent, in terms of a better situation where there's no Damian Williams, he's on the Bears right now, there's no Le'Veon Bell, he's spitting ass bars right now. Take a listen to a few of the songs. They're cringeworthy. And Darwin Thompson, I'm just not really concerned about. So there's really not much competition for Clyde Edwards-Helaire to compete with. He just has to go out there and do it. And he is a guy who I think is more than capable of going out there and doing it on a fucking weekend basis. Go ahead and pick up Clyde Edwards-Helaire in every single one of your leagues. I'm telling you guys, this is the guy you were thinking of last year. Everybody who's bitter about Clyde, this is the guy you were wanting to draft last year, and now he's available an entire round later. Do not miss out on the Clyde Edwards-Helaire sweepstake. I hope I don't screw myself with this for the people in my leagues listening, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he is that guy. Draft him in every single league. My next guy, Myles Gaskin, Carole Baskin, motherfucking Haskin. I don't even know what I just said, but I'm really excited about Myles Gaskin, if you guys can't tell. He had a 4.1 yards per carry, which is the most impressive, right? But it shows that he's getting volume, because he has 57.6 rushing yards per game. He has 4 catches per game and 38 receiving yards per game, right? So if we just take those stats all together right there, right? So it's 4.1 plus 5.8. That is 9.9. And then you go ahead and you take his 7.8 from his receiving totals. No, wait. Hey, I may have to cut that out, but I may not have to. He had 5.76 points, right? Then you take the 4 receptions, that's 9.76 points. And then you take the 3.8 yards receiving, that's 12 or 13 points right there. That is 12 or 13 points you're getting off the bat right there, and you're not even taking into consideration his touchdown totals. He had 5 touchdowns through his 7 starts. So if you go ahead and you take a projection of that, you take everything into it accounted, I have Myles Gaskin projected for 17.8 points this season. And if you don't believe that he was legit last season, then you must just not have your glasses on. Because let's go ahead and look at his numbers last season. He was the RB10 on a point per game basis. He has a complete lack of competition around him. Malcolm Brown ain't crap to me. Lynn Bowden could be a receiving threat to him, but I don't think it'll be that great of one. Gaskin is very capable. And on top of it, I think that Jared Doakes, while a guy I'm looking out for in dynasty leagues in fantasy, Cincinnati running back that just got drafted, I'm not concerned about any of that hurting Mr. Myles Gaskin's workload. Salvon Ahmed is not going to hurt his workload. This is Gaskin's backfield to run, and as long as he can stay healthy, I think that he's going to be able to produce give it up for my guy, Miles Gaskin. Now, I know you guys are probably wondering, where's the segments? Where's the segments? Segments are going to come soon. It's just right now with us doing the previews and everything right now for like the players and stuff like that. There's nothing really of a segment. I could do like a fantasy fuckboys where it's basically like the people who yank your chain around every other week, like Will Fuller. I would call him the definition of that. But I don't know. I got to go ahead. I got to think of a segment, and I'm going to get back to you guys. But let's go ahead and let's continue further into our running back discussion. Damian Harris is a guy who's being drafted in the 6th and 7th round. Sorry for omitting the 7th. But what's most important to me is that his yards per carry is 5. Flat. That's very good. In fact, it was the 11th best in football amongst running backs. Now, he only had 9.1 fantasy points per game. So you're probably thinking to yourself, 7th round pick for a guy who gets 9.1 points per game in a PPR league? I think I'm good off that. Let me explain to you why you shouldn't be good off that. So they go ahead and they get Mac Jones. Mac Jones is a guy who I believe wins the starting job. I know a lot of people are telling me that Cam Newton is definitely locked in for the job, but if he is locked in for the job, just how many weeks until Mac Jones gets into that offense? The Cam Newton offense does not work. Does not look like he could throw a football. What I'm thinking is Mac Jones gets into this offense. It goes back to a more of a normal style of offense, right? And then you take out Cam's stats from last year. You take out the 12 rushing touchdowns, I believe. Could have been 10 or whatever. You take out those rushing touchdowns. You take out the 500 rushing yards he has. And where does that go? That goes to the starter. That goes to the boy. That goes to the rock, Damian Harris, who should be a workhorse for New England. New England is a place where they've always had a nice passing game with Tom Brady, but they may need to change their identity. They need to become a ground and pound team with Damian Harris. And if you're just looking at the statistics, and Bill Belichick's a smart guy, he probably knows this, to be honest with you. Being drafted around handcuffs like Kenyon Drake, Leonard Fournette, A.J. Dillon, I'm going to take the starter of the New England Patriots every single time. Now, I know that there is a low floor here, but he's a solid player. And if he's going to get the time, he should get. And the Patriots do improve this year, like many people believe, then why can't Damian Harris be a low-end RB2 for you that you drafted in the 7th round? That's what we're looking for. That's why we're getting into values. And let's get into another huge value, in my opinion. I'm not so sure if I want to go ape crap on it like I did last time. By the way, I'm trying to limit the cursing, so bear with me on my adjusting. And we're going to get into OBJ. So OBJ, or people on crack. You on the crack or rock? I don't understand, right? I don't care what his numbers are this year, last year, the year before that, the year before that. This is OBJ we're talking about. We're talking about a top 10 receiver in the National Football League. I don't care what his stats say. Him and Baker have never been able to get the connection together. Yes, I get it. But at a point, other teams have to realize that the Browns are just running it down their throats. They're going to have to load the box. And then when that opportunity happens, Odell Beckham will get his opportunity to shine. I think that this year's a huge bounce back year for Odell, and I feel like he will at least improve on his touchdown totals. That's what's really been killing him. As a Giant, he was much more effective against touchdowns. I believe in his first three seasons, he had double digits in each of those years and played, I think, 12, 15, and 16 games. So that's more than impressive right there. We know what Odell Beckham has, and it's people are acting like this guy's 33 or something. He's 28. Just giving some reality to the show. But Odell Beckham is a guy who's polarizing, right? He's a guy who's hurt a lot of people the past 2 years, right? But he's in perfect bounce back position. He's a guy who cares about what the public thinks, and he wants to prove them wrong. He's hungry. He's a goddamn warrior, and even though he was a little baby sometimes, he's a producer. And for that reason, I would take him in the 6th. Easy. Okay, let's go to my guy, Courtland Sutton. I've never been a big Courtland Sutton fanboy before, but now with the price tag that I'm seeing right here, it's getting a little crazy. I think I'd have to draft him there. So, he was the wide receiver 19 in 2019, and based off those numbers, he would have been drafted about in the mid-fifth round this year, if you had to project it forward with stats and everything like that, with the people who are currently ranked. Now, instead of that, he's available in the end of the sixth, middle of the seventh round. So take a guy who was 16th in yards per reception in 2019. And what that tells me is he doesn't need crazy volume to produce because he didn't have insane reception totals the year that he went off. He just had an insane amount of yardage. His ability, after catching the ball, to break free from defenders, his elusiveness, his agility, everything that this man uses to get past defenders is class A. It's level and levels above most of the other receivers in this league, besides the top guys, of course. And now the fact that you're looking at a guy who had 124 targets, 72 catches, 1,112 yards, 6 TDs, and 15.8 fantasy points per game in 2019, you're not going to want to take that guy until the 7th round? What? In the 6 or 7 round range, I'm grabbing either Sutton or Beckham, or possibly both, honestly, depending on how my draft goes. I don't see a reason in not taking a chance on these guys at a point in the draft where basically the level of talent decreases dramatically. The guys around the OBJ and the Courtland Sutton, they really aren't the most impressive receivers in the world. They're like the Curtis Samuels of the world, who I do like, but it's just not the same talent level. These guys are levels above a Curtis Samuel who's being drafted right near them. So what I'm basically going ahead and saying is go ahead and take a bounce back year for both of these guys who got injured last year. The price tag is so low to the point where the potential you're getting makes total sense. Nobody can clown you for taking OBJ in the 6th round. Nobody could clown you for taking Courtland Sutton in the 6th or 7th round. So it takes the pressure off drafting these big name guys who could be absolute dog water, but that's the best part of it. You don't have to worry. If they don't pan out, they don't pan out. You trade them, maybe even release them. I don't fucking give a damn. You do whatever you do, and that's how we get it done. Let's go on to Will Fuller. Will Fuller the 5th. Another guy who I've absolutely hated. This is the definition of a fantasy fuckboy because he just likes to yank people's chains. He'll ask you to go out after DJs. You'll get in his white Chevrolet Suburban from 2006. It's going to smell like cigarettes. And there's going to be swishes all over the car. Now, what Will leans over and says to me is, "You want to go in the back seat?" Now, of course, I don't want to go in the back seat, but he says that there's about 300 fantasy points back there, 200 fantasy points. I say, all right. I go back there. I come up. Hair's all messy. And guess what I got? I got like 120 fantasy points because he gets injured. He gets suspended. He does this. He does that. That is Will Fuller for you guys. But Will Fuller is still the same guy who had a TD in 6 straight games last year. He still averaged 13.59 fantasy points per game, and he was still on pace to finish as the wide receiver 8 last year. So, for this guy to be in the 8th round makes zero sense to me. Yes, he has a 2-game suspension. I do not mind it for the price whatsoever. Now, there is a downgrade in Watson and the situation overall because the Texans have a horrible defense. They have to pass to get back into games, and Will Fuller can feast in garbage time, right? But Tua Tagovailoa has kind of struggled in terms of short accuracy, medium accuracy in the NFL. It's kind of where I've seen him actually show some promise is those deep throws. So it really depends on what you believe in for Will Fuller. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take a break right now because I have to drop a Mondo Duke and it's about to shoot out of me. I'll be back in less than 2 minutes. Thank you. Oh my lord, holy actual fuck, I think I just shat out a small baby. And we're back, people. We were talking about Will Fuller, we were talking about the downgrade, but what I was telling you is that I don't really give a crap, because at the value, he's worth it. Let's dive into, I'm going to do a little shocking thing with this one. I'm going to get in the middle. Now, the next player I'm about to name is going in the 11th round of drafts. He was the wide receiver 18 in fantasy football last year. He has the 7th most touchdowns since 2017 at the wide receiver position. I think actually overall in the NFL, by the way. Who is this guy that I am talking about right now? Who has 9 TDs in 3 out of his last 4 seasons? It's a shocker. It's Marvin Jones Jr. Yes, I am talking about Marvin Jones Jr. He's being drafted in the 11th round of fantasy leagues. This guy was the wide receiver 18 last year. And as I told you before, the touchdowns, he's a magnet for them. Does he have competition at the position? Yes. Has he had competition before the position? Hell yes. Why can't he succeed here? That's my thought process. I'll take him every time in the 11th round if you're going to be the wide receiver 18 in fantasy football the year before. And on top of that, he's had some pretty solid seasons in Detroit too with Matt Stafford. He's proved he could be a solid quarterback with a wide receiver with Andy Dalton. He's proved he could be a solid wide receiver with Matt Stafford. And I think with Trevor Lawrence, if, God forbid, DJ Chark or Laviska Shenault are to suffer any injuries of any sort, Marvin Jones immediately flies up that depth chart, becomes a huge guy of value, and could become one of the, can become the Jacksonville Jaguars' leading receiver this year for a team who has a horrible defense and is going to be passing a lot. I could not be more excited to draft this guy in the 11th, but we have to hold off with one thing because there is a small problem. His inconsistency is very, very troublesome. Very bad. Because what it is with his inconsistency is, I believe when I was doing the statistics before, he had 7 games in which he scored less than 5.1 points, but then every other one of those games was 15 points or higher. So Marvin Jones Jr. puts up numbers, but it's all about which week you put him in. So if you're going to draft him, just make sure to monitor that. I'll be with you throughout the season to say either start or sit if he's a guy that I think is exceptionary in terms of basically having a great matchup that week. So don't worry, you guys will always be able to ask me questions. You'll always be able to reach me, and I always got you. So now that we just finished the wide receivers, let's get into the tight ends. We're nearing the end of the show. I'm going to have a little conclusion where I talk to you guys for a little bit, but that'll be all. We got Jared Cook, Mr. Cook. I don't know if there's ever been a Mr. Cook, but Mr. Cook in 2018 and 2019 was the tight end 6 and the tight end 5. Simply put, he's a decent tight end on a very explosive offense. Why wouldn't you take the flyer here? With a guy like Jared Cook, yeah, has he been inconsistent literally his entire career? Yes, he's been the status quo, some would say, of inconsistency. But on an offense as high-powered as the Chargers, with guys who get hurt like a Keenan Allen and a Mike Williams all the time, even Austin Eckler, Jared Cook's role can become more and more important by the week. I'm reading camp reports. They're building a solid rapport. I'm just saying, as a guy that you take as the backup to your other tight end, why not take the chance? It's worth it. And honestly, if he's a top 5 tight end again this year, then goddamn, you just did a great job. So why not go ahead and take him there? And let's go into probably my favorite tight end in football right now, besides my guy Kittle, Irv Smith Jr., Oklahoma guy. I fucking love Irv Smith Jr. In his starts last year, he was extremely efficient when given opportunities and has a feel for the end zone with 5 touchdowns in his last 6 games of the season. Did he put up the most impressive yardage overall? Not really, but on the receptions he did get, he was very efficient with every single one of those catches. He would get 15 yards, 16 yards, 17 yards. He's great with the ball in his hands. He's a great possession guy in the end zone, and you saw that over the late stretch of the season. They were leaning on this guy for touchdowns. God forbid Dalvin Cook goes out. You have a guy who's going to be probably their biggest body in the end zone who will be their favorite target. Kirk Cousins is going to build a relationship with this guy as he built on last year, and Irv Smith Jr. is a guy right now who I think is ranked the 15th, 17th best tight end in fantasy football. At the 12th round, it makes a lot of sense to either pick him either as your starter, if you're really confident about him like I am, or take him as your backup. Right now, for me, ideally, I don't really mind waiting until Irv Smith Jr. and Cook, and I'll have them as my 2 tight ends. Maybe pick up another guy, but it's all about waiting. It's all about getting those running backs, those wide receivers. You got to get the best value you can in the beginning, and then you go ahead and you move on in the draft. That is all in terms of the best values for you guys. So I just wanted to go ahead and say thank you guys for tuning in to today's episode. If you're watching the video and there were any lags or anything like that, I'm going to be able to see it. So I'll post pending on that. Make sure, obviously, if you are watching, to listen on the audio version as well, or at least give it a play, you know, show your boys some love. Subscribe to the YouTube, because now that I'm going and doing video podcasts, this will be here, I believe, twice a week I want to do it. So it should be here twice a week, usually, I believe, Tuesdays and Fridays. I think it might drop tomorrow on a Monday, just be a little unpredictable, but tune in, be subscribed, be active. I want you guys, if you want, leave a review. If you think it's good, let me know. If you think it's bad, also let me know. I'm never going to learn. I'm never going to become better if everybody likes to just, you know, oh, AJ, that's great. Your podcast is awesome. That doesn't do jack crap. I need to learn. I need to grow. I need to become better at this thing, because it is the dream, people. So, if you haven't already, follow the Fantasy Guy page on Instagram, _FantasyGuy_, and have a wonderful day, guys. Betting picks will be coming soon as well to the Fantasy